down and dis, down and dis, down and distance on WGNRadio.com.
Parkman doing his little shimmy. It drives the women here in Cleveland crazy.
You thinking what I'm thinking, partner?
I'm sorry, I don't know what just happened.
I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
It's the future, future.
Whoa, 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 stop the presses, stop the presses. You know what time it is?
Game time, boom!
It's Down the Distance here on WGNRadio.com. Jared Payton alongside my man Ernie Skatton, Shy Voice Man on Twitter. I'm at Payton Sun, PaytonSun. Don't follow Ernie, follow me because I'm the only one tweeting out of the crew. So that's how we do. I'm going to tell you right now it's time because Thursday is football day here in Chicago at Soldier Field. The Bears take on the Broncos, and I'm excited because we get a chance to kind of see how things are going to play out from, you know, Bourbonnais or Bourbonnais, however you want to call it, to real football, man. A lot of these young guys on this team are going to get a chance to be able to experience some real football, and I know it's really good because it comes repetitive over and over again, hitting your own teammates when you're out there in training camp. Now you get a chance to hit somebody else from a different team. It always makes you feel good. So let's break down some of the position battles. Let's break down some of the things that we want to see. Let's break down some of the things that we're going to look forward to as this preseason approaches. Let's go. All right, man. Thursday night.
It's time.
Thursday night, first preseason game.
They're still in first place.
Right now they are. I mean, that's the good part, man. That's the good part that, you know, you're coming into a preseason where there's a lot of valuation going on. And there's a lot of looking at guys to figure out who's going to be on this squad and who can help this squad, depending on how you look at 2017, you have to look at it with some glasses on, preferably some Oakley shades. I would actually go back. Let's not forget the Oakleys. You can see clear through those. I got a pair right here.
Maybe some aviators, dude.
Some aviators, but the aviators have to. They just can't be regular aviators.
I want the Tom Cruise Top Gun aviators.
Okay, then that's what you're looking through then. All right, so we got to go through this and try to figure out, you know, certain things that we're going to be looking at and things that we want to see in a first preseason game, even though you're not getting a lot of the number ones out on the football field for an extended period of time to be able to break down and watch how guys are developing. But in a short period of time, in a series or two series, you want to be able to see what you've been watching, maybe even in practice, in training camp, in Bourbonnais, or if you've been out there to actually see it yourself, or what you've been reading in the newspaper about hearing how guys have been making plays, you want to see that translate over to the field on Thursday.
Well, traditionally, you don't, like you said, you don't see the ones in these games. But why wouldn't the Bears play Glennon as much as possible? Like, if I'm the Bears, he plays every game. Like, all preseason. You can't tell me he doesn't need the reps. He has to need the reps to understand his offense better. Why wouldn't you play your one all the time? And if we're not going to see Glennon, does that mean I'm going to see Mitchell?
It comes down to seeing Mike Glennon kind of do what he did in the scrimmage game, where you want to see a guy complete passes down the field. And one thing that I did see, Ernie, in the scrimmage game at Soldier Field was with the one offense with Mike Glennon, there wasn't a lot of down the field throws. We haven't really seen Glennon throw the deep ball like we've actually seen Sanchez, and we've seen Trubisky be able to throw that deep ball. Both those guys have live arms. Glennon, I don't know if he doesn't have that live arm. To me, from what I've seen so far.
So in your opinion, he's got a rag arm?
No, I'm not saying that he has a rag arm. I just haven't seen it when he's been out on the field, those down the field throws over camp like we've seen with Sanchez. Sanchez's big throw to Victor Cruz over the middle in the scrimmage game was pretty impressive of how he throws on the dime. I've also seen Trubisky as well throw that ball, step into the pocket and throw the ball down the field.
So the
Bears offense has to take that step. Guys have to get down the field to be able to open things up. And so this offense can have some type of success.
Take the top off.
But you need guys to be able to do that. You look at how the receivers are kind of stacked up, Earn, and I think that's kind of the next big thing.
Well, who do the Bears have that can take the top off? Who's the fast, speedy receiver? It's Kevin White, right? Is he your fastest and biggest receiver?
He's your fastest and probably your most physical receiver. Yeah, that's what.
So then you don't necessarily want him to take the top off.
But you do want him to take it off because now you're pairing him where the truth is success. Success. How good Kevin White can be, Ernie, hinges on how good Cam Meredith is as well.
So vice versa. So they hold keys to each other's success, basically.
Yeah, but one thing about Cam that we've seen in Cam, and regardless if people want to name him a number one, more than likely he's going to be this Bears' number one target for right now. I mean, going into the season, for a guy that has a lot of experience, has been on the field last year, like over 800 yards, receptions. So you love to be able to see that he's able to make plays. He also is tall enough and can go up and get the ball when he needs to. But he's also had to kind of figure out how to play with double teams. He's had to do that because when you become the focal point, when you didn't have, and we saw this with Alshon Jeffrey being here with Cam, those games where Cam got off, last year, the Colts game, Alshon Jeffrey was on the football field demanding double coverage, help over the top, which left Cam one-on-one on the other side. That's why he went up and he made plays. It's going
to
almost
be the
same thing.
But you have to make it like you can't leave him one-on-one. And that's what Cam Meredith, that's the next step in progression of him as a receiver, right?
You know what it is?
He's got to make himself a tough cover.
It comes down to both of these guys again. It comes down to you want both guys
to be that tough
cover. To be that tough that defenses are making.
What do you do? They're making, who does the safety come over on the top? Yeah,
they're making, a choice of who they want to.
Is it possible? In your opinion, is it possible for that to happen? Because I love Kevin White.
But from what you're saying, it took
Cam Meredith had to learn how to play a double team, had to learn how to do this. Well, Kevin White hasn't had a chance to learn. So now I'm skeptical. I'm scared that he's not going to be ready. And it's like third year, dude. And I know you've been hurt, but.
There's nothing that you can do to push it faster, the process faster. Ernie has to
get why is it just like a net? Like because Randy Moss didn't have that process.
No, because,
and I get that he's a freak.
No, it's not even
maybe
that.
He's a bad.
You look at other guys and where they came from in college, man, and how they played in the offenses that they played in. Yeah, some guys just.
So as a college kid, I would never go to a school that's not going to put me in the best position to move on. But I guess you have no choice. I know.
But I don't know if we're in the same predicament now in year three with Kevin White if he was on the field for the past two seasons. And so that's where I think people – I think he's a little bit further along. But right now the only thing that's going to get him better is more reps – on the football field.
Well, they have him and Cam as the starters at the receiver position.
Okay, that's another storyline. Right. How many wide receivers do they keep? And who are locks? Who are locks? Who are on the bubble? And who are guys that are probably not going to make this team? To me, the wide receivers that are locks are the two guys that we just talked about.
Absolutely.
Cam, Kevin White.
I feel like Victor Cruz has
to be a lock. I think Marcus Wheaton's going to be a lock. I think those are the three. But then I think after that, it kind of opens up. I also think Josh Bellamy's going to be here, too.
God, I hate that kid.
That would be four. That is going to be four
guys. If he could actually catch, I'd be all right with him.
Yeah, but he's both. He goes from the reason why he's going to make this team, like
because
him or
of
not.
Special teams.
Yeah, it's
because
he's a really good special
and
teams
Victor
guy.
Cruz, Kendall Wright, Reuben Randall, three guys whose names have been bandied about for years in the NFL. I like Deontay Thompson. I know he was a little small last year, but I liked his little thickness, and I liked his little bowling ball thickness.
Yeah, I don't think he makes it.
Probably not.
So
let me ask you about this. What about Alton Howard? What about Pig Howard?
You want to know who my guys are? Listen, this is going to be the starting. These are going to be the six wide receivers that are going to be on the 53-man roster. Cam Meredith, Kevin White, Mark Sweeten, Victor Cruz, Josh Bellamy, and they're going to keep one more. And that
Reuben
sixth
Randall,
one?
Kendall, it's going to be either Reuben Randall or Kendall Wright, I think.
Nope, not happening, bro.
No, neither one of those guys make it?
No, you skipped over just like
Daniel Braverman?
Dan is going to be on. That's my guy. I'm hoping that he can. But he has
the Tommy Waddle spot?
But no. It's
you always got to keep a Tommy Waddle.
It's tough because you bring in a guy like Victor Cruz and you bring in other guys that are almost do the same thing that you do. Yeah. And that there's a flux of a guy that you can play in that slot position. But the guy that everybody is talking about that I think makes this team and actually a 53-man roster is going to be Tanner Gentry from Wyoming, who was an undrafted free agent. Yeah, keeps making plays in camp and one-handed catches and down the field.
I saw some of that. But I thought he was just like he's going to be a practice squad guy.
You think
he suits up on Sundays?
I think he's going to be there. I think he's going to play special teams, and I think he's going to have to play special teams. He's a bigger, like what they want out of Braverman, and I love the fact that he can give you that. And if you watch him run routes, and I love what he brings to the table. Tanner Gentry is just a little bit bigger, you know, than Braverman, and a guy that.
Well, then here's your question: what if Tanner Gentry looks good on special teams? Do you cut Josh Bellamy single?
No, you can't.
Do you cut him and keep one of these other guys?
They love the fact of what he brings to
God. That kid can't
catch. To the wide receiver room, and they love the fact that what? Yeah, he's got this. He's a me.
Like, you don't want to get rid of him. He's a nice, cool guy, funny, probably good for the room.
Yeah, he's a good. And he's
not
just
the greatest at anything, but you know, he's good for the room. He's good for the team.
In special teams, I think people forget
that's the definition
big.
Of me. I'm good for the team. Not great at any one thing. I'm not bad.
I thought about cutting you a couple of times. Or putting you on. Or like releasing you with like, no, it's like keeping you like you had an injury. We're gonna keep you like.
You're going to release me on Monday, bring me back Friday because nobody else is going to touch me.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
Listen, we're just going to use this roster spot this week, okay?
And
we'll bring you back on Friday.
We promise. Stay at the hotel.
Yeah. So turn down the Lions, turn down the Vikings, and then you guys don't get me?
Yeah. I'll tell you another thing I truly, 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 truly like, and I keep saying it over and over again, and I look forward to seeing how he's going to kind of fare in real game action, especially when it comes to pass protection. But Tariq Cohen has shown that the spotlight is not too big for him, and that the NFL is not too big for him.
Yeah, he's gonna end up getting Kadeem Carey cut.
I mean, I look forward to seeing how the running back situation pans itself out, because my co-host on Sports Feed, Josh Friedman, and I were talking yesterday, and he was like, "Well, you know, for sure they're gonna keep, you know,
Langford. Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know if Langford is a lock.
I think he's got to be a lock.
No, he's not a lock. First of all, he's not even one of their guys. He hasn't practiced yet. So I don't even know what people are saying that he could be an actual lock when you look at you got Howard, you got Tariq Cohen, who is their guy, who is going to play, whether it's on third down or not. And then you have
Benny Cunningham. I like Benny Cunningham.
Who is a special teams guy who they like. I mean, more than likely they're going to keep three. I mean, maybe four. I don't know. Maybe four, but yeah. So who's getting the axe? So that's the thing.
Could they flip Langford for like a seventh round pick or something like that?
No, they're not getting nothing for Jeremy Langford.
You guys could have seen his face right there.
I'm just for real.
Jared's eyes rolled back into his head like, nah.
I mean, it's interesting to me to see how. You know, battles are going to break out, and I really am looking forward to watching the tight ends, because I think the way that these tight ends have been talked about during camp, they're an intriguing group, and they give you a lot of different opportunities to use them in the offense, whether it's, you know, a single tight end set or a double tight end set. And to see how these guys have been able to, I love how they use their body to get open and leverage on the defenders.
Absolutely.
And Adam Shaheen is a guy that is going to be real, and the Bears are going to use him a lot this year. And as he gets comfortable, Ernie, with the game, I think that's where we're going to start seeing some of that. We've seen some of it. Maybe more of what we saw in his highlight film when he was at Ashland, where he can feel free and play. A lot of young guys still on this roster. And you forget sometimes that a lot of guys don't have a lot of experience, and so the only thing that gets them game ready is more experience. You can practice all you want to. Game's a little bit different, Most of the time, practice is the hardest thing because you're grinding against your own teammates. It's hot outside during the summertime, and you're tired. You don't feel like sometimes being there. But games, you practice so hard to be able to play in those games. But in those games, you get so much valuable information and learn so many valuable lessons that you can't get on the practice field. And it's right. like it's like trial and error. But the guys that succeed at the NFL level are guys that prepare themselves or have been through so many games that they know what's going to happen before it happens, and they can just play free. And that's when the athleticism comes out, because they're like, yo, I've done this before. Mentally, I've already seen what's going to happen. Now let me go out there and react. And that's where you see certain guys not having the chance to do that yet.
Well, they're going to keep four tight ends, right? I would think.
No, I mean,
if they keep three, why does Zach Miller make this team?
I mean, I don't know if they're going to keep three. That's the thing. He might not make this squad.
In no way, shape, or form does Zach Miller make my team. I know. He doesn't make this team. You have Deion Sims as your starting tight end, right?
They paid him basically starter money.
Okay,
yeah.
So you have Deion Sims. Adam Shaheen's going to be your starter of the future. He's your man coming behind him.
But he's also going to play a lot.
Right, and they like Daniel Brown and Ben Broniker. Right? Ben Broniker not so much, but Brown, they like him as a blocker. They like him as a blocking tight end, right? Why keep Zach Miller, who gets hurt and you got to pay a ton of money? Not a ton, but you have to pay. Why keep him? Because he catches a ball up the gut every now and then? He gets cut in my world.
He gives you
Don't tell me he's good for the locker room. I don't believe that with him.
No, not good for the locker room. He's just... He's a good pass catcher, man.
Okay, when he's not hurt.
I know, but that's
the guy's
the
always
thing.
Hurt.
The other two names that you were talking about, I mean, they're not wow factors in the passing game.
What's a wow? But is Zach Miller really a wow factor?
When he's healthy on the football field, yes.
When he's healthy on the football field and the wind's blowing directly north to south,
I mean,
everything's perfect.
It's the same thing that we talked about with Alshon Jeffrey, man. When he was on the football field, dude's a baller. Like, you can't turn on the tape and watch and not see him do something in a game or make a catch that you're like, okay. Like, you can tell he's a gamer. Now, the biggest issue is we know he can't stay healthy.
And it's not even like a joke. Like, you cannot stay healthy.
But
and I hate it for some guys. You're a baller. You're just injury prone. And I hate that word injury prone. That's not a thing.
But you just
get injured.
But not you're keeping a quarterback that is your starting quarterback who hasn't played and started in a long time in NFL years, like when you talk about NFL years.
Dog years.
Yeah. So to me, you want to make him as comfortable as possible. And if you don't really know what's going on with your wide receiver position yet, like you could have a feeling. Right. But we're also talking about a bunch of young guys in that wide receiver room
right.
who
you
don't have a lot.
Right.
They don't have a lot of experience either.
So you're saying Zach Miller makes it for veteranship and his leadership.
And you're hoping that, and what you do is in the NFL, as GMs do all the time, they try to figure out ways to be able to kind of look past all the other stuff, which people on the outside as fans, we don't. We see for what it is. And I think they do as well, but they mask it sometimes and go, you know what, maybe he could stay healthy this year. So I don't know how many they keep. I just know that it's not a lock for Zach Miller to be able to make this team. I mean, he's going to have to wow.
Yeah, and stay healthy. Don't get hurt in camp. He takes an injury in camp. I can't see how he makes this team.
There's one guy, though, that I'm really looking forward to watching this season. And to me, I want to see how he progresses. And we've kind of talked it over. But Leonard Floyd, I want to see what he does in year two. And Pernell McPhee, maybe. And I mean, how many games he's going to play this year, we have no clue. I want to see his development over the summer and how he has got smarter as a football player, because that was the one thing last year that you saw was a kid that was really raw, Ernie, and had a lot of talent and a lot of athleticism, but also sometimes putting himself in bad situation because of technique. And his technique has to get better, and I think it has gotten better, and we've seen it, keeping his head up. Because the concussions are a big issue.
That's what I was going to say. I'm scared of that.
The concussions are a big issue, but he can't let that get in his head. He's got to go out and play. Because, Ernie, the dude has some special skills. He's put on a little weight.
Yeah.
Maybe the speed might not be as fast, but I'll take him putting on weight and getting a little bit more solid for the pounding that he's going to have to take. And I think now as people watch film, especially over the last five games of last season, they saw what he's able to do of being able to get to the quarterback. They're going to have – people are going to game plan against him now because they know
– That's a beautiful thing.
They're going to game plan. So now he's got
to
be –
It's been a while since we've had a defensive player where you had to game plan against.
He's – I mean
– Who's your last one? Peppers?
Yeah, probably so. When he got here.
Right when he first got here. Even at the end. Look, they had a game plan against him. That's why he didn't get a lot of tackles or sacks or anything, because he had two people on him at all the time, somebody chipping him. I mean, I...
Look at the size difference between both those guys, though. Peppers was a monster.
A monster.
And then you look at Floyd, who, man, he's got everything. And I remember having the conversation with the Bears' old linebacker coach, Clint Hurt, when they drafted Floyd, and he never blows smoke anywhere. I mean, it's always 100% all the time with Clint. And he was like, man, this dude, he's got it. Like, he's got that thing. Like, the way he's able to maneuver his body around and still keep his speed to get around the edges. And he said it's special.
Did he compare him to anybody?
Nah, he didn't compare him. He just said he compared him to Stretch Armstrong. He's able to kind of like maneuver
contort,
his body.
He can contort his body in the ways and shapes.
He can just get there. And so I want to see him. I want to see him unleash. I want him to take that next step in 2017, man. This is the year for him. I think every time you look at a guy that's drafted in the first round, Earn, I mean, the expectations are through the roof, right?
They have to be. You're a first round pick.
People want to see what you're going to do.
That's why it sucks when they take projects.
That was the one thing. The last 2 years, they took Floyd as a project and they took Trubisky as a project. But with Trubisky, I just wanted to speed up. I want to know where we're going to be in 5 years. I think that's the one thing that like hits me to my heart and to my soul and to my core. Where is this Bears organization going to be in 5 years? I want to see what the development of Mitch Trubisky is 5 years from now. But I don't have a crystal ball. And I wish I did.
In 5 years, you hope probably 10 or 12 of these guys are still on the team? Like, you know, that of the team that we have now, like you obviously hope Leonard Floyd's still there and Tariq Cohen and who else? Shaheen, Jordan Howard. You know, you hope these guys are still around. Kyle Long. Did I say Kyle Long already?
Know. Yeah, but yeah. Kyle is another guy as this season creeps up.
Gotta stay healthy.
Listen, listening to that he took 10 live snaps in team drills is great. And I'm
it just makes, hold him out it, to listen, the season.
It makes me happy because he's getting back into the groove. But, Earn, I just, man, the interior of that Bears offensive line is, I mean, they could. That's the. It could be the best
it
in football.
It could be special. Right. I was just saying that.
When all healthy, they have to, they can be special. And so.
Long, Sitton, and Cody Whitehead. Those three, right?
I mean, they can.
I don't want to say I hate. I don't like Bobby Massey.
He's on the right side. The one part, as everybody is always worried about and always talking about, is on the other side, and that's Charles Leno Jr. And a lot of people don't like his game, but you know what? He's about to play himself into a situation where if he plays good this season, he's going to make himself some money. The Bears like him. They trust him. And you know what? The Bears' offensive line last year, if you look at it, I mean, they...
wasn't bad.
They had the second leading rusher in the NFL.
Nah, it wasn't bad.
So put that in order, right?
Right.
And a lot of the time we're talking about, you know, stretch running or even, you know, running outside the outside zone and all that stuff where you're looking at those guys on the edges to be able to do what they have to do, to be able to move guys or to get around, to hook somebody, whatever it is. They did their job. They had Jordan Howard where Jordan Howard was, second in the NFL.
You know, great running backs also make lines better. You know, it's easier to block for a great running back than a bad running back, I would think.
We're talking about a young guy that was a rookie who
was a stud.
It's not stud. It's almost the same thing as like going out with somebody, you know, dating somebody, marrying somebody where over time, man, they're like every single year you get more comfortable. You learn something new about that person. That's like how it is. Running behind an offensive line, you have to get to know each one. That's why when
the
you
nuances.
Hear, that's why when you hear like people like my dad who You know, every single year that he would go to the Pro Bowl, he would hand out Rolexes to his offensive line, but he would also, like, take them out and he would talk to them and, like, get to know – know what's going on in their life, because sometimes you have to check a dude sometimes if you don't see something when you're back there. Like, you're back there and you run, and they know, but they start to know – and they get to know about you and what you like to do. You're watching film together where you're like, yo, man, listen, you know, on 35 stretch, I want to – my goal is
Listen, Hartenstein. You better get that fat butt over there.
Hey, if he's on the outside and he comes up the field, I just need you to get in the way, because more than likely I'm going to come underneath you. And so over time in games, when they see that and you're in a situation and it's hot out and you're like, or it's cold out, and you're like, dang, we're about to run 35 stretch. Okay, I see this end. He's out wide. Okay, yeah, I'm going to get him. Make sure, I'm going to get my body on him. I know JP's going to come right inside. Boom. And it's like that, you have to know. And so it's, you know, same thing with you and your wife, man. She knows things before you don't even have to say them. And she knows what you're thinking already.
She knows too damn much.
That's what I'm saying. So that's how the relationship. So it's amazing to watch how Jordan Howard and that Bears offensive line, when not being a starter early on in the season to where he like ended up being, that only that's going to get better if everybody can stay healthy. But it depends on the interior of that offensive line, and that line could actually be truly, truly special, if not the best.
Let me ask you this. Do you subscribe that the Bears are not as far away as people think, as some people may think? I mean, because everything that we've talked about, we have key pieces in key positions.
Yeah,
we have a good running back. But we have the start of a very good defense. I think we're very close to a legitimate top 10, top 8 defense. Very, very close. We have a very good offensive line. So, like, we have a lot of pieces that are key to having a very good team.
Depth.
Is it possible that they're not as far as people think?
Depth. That's what they're hoping for. That's what they're hoping for now, that they're building depth at those positions.
But couldn't they catch a... could they catch a star by the tail? And just, what if they had one of those seasons? And it just worked. They didn't get a lot of injuries. Kyle Long stays healthy. You know, Leonard Floyd has a season that you expect.
Just stop trying to make me feel. I'm not going into this season like I have the last three seasons. I'm not doing it. My expectations the last 3 years, Ernie, were like, dude, we are. We're not that we got this, we got that, and yeah.
But now we have things to back those expectations. Now you can actually look at stuff and say, okay, I subscribe that they are not as far as people think. And I think that they're a couple players away.
Yeah, but there's still question marks at key positions that we don't know.
Your secondary is still kind of a question
mark. And
your
biggest one is quarterback still. See,
that's what I was gonna say. If by some weird reason, I'm not saying this year, but like next year, if Mitchell just all of a sudden clicks and next year he's a stud, this team takes that step, because now you've got a quarterback that can lead you, that can lead this team, and it's not the wet blanket Jay Cutler, who I'm not a Jay Cutler detractor. Congratulations, Jay, for going to Miami. I know people are gonna get mad at that, but I love Jay, but you now have a guy that can lead this team, and maybe that just flips that little switch that they need to be able to put them over, and knowing that they still need some depth, but knowing that they have players that can play at this level to win in this league.
I mean, I'm hoping, man. That's all I can say is I'm hoping. I'm hoping that you're right.
We need a safety terribly. We need a killer. Yeah, we need a killer.
We have to wait to see what Eddie Jackson's going to be able to do. Dude's pretty nice, though. He's nice. And then
he was never a killer, though. He was never that thumper.
But he's got, I don't know.
He's got ball hawk skills.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, that's what you want, though.
That's on one of them. I want a thumper. I want a guy that I really don't want to cross this field back here.
But those guys.
Those 30-yard slant. They
don't last. I don't know how long they last.
Okay, so give me 5 years, dude. I mean, and I'm not, listen, I know this is your boy. And he was a beast. You've told me over and over, is probably the greatest football player you've ever seen play. How long do you think he would have lasted? I know he was a thumper a different.
Yeah, he was just made different. That's hard to say, man. Like, Sean Taylor would still be playing. He's just a different,
I love listening to those stories.
Dude,
you
don't need, you hear me right now? I don't even know how to put it in words, man. He's just, dude,
and he was a good dude. He was your friend.
Dude, he was unreal, man. He was unreal. But But he was like a, it's a weird version. You know, you either have guys that have that ability to like go across the field and take out like, you know, get an interception from being on one side to the other, but then also come up and hit you. Then you have other guys who will come up and just hit you, and that's all they do.
He had it all.
Dude, he had it all. Like, he had it all.
It's when them Florida boys.
I mean, it's just something, it was something different about him. And so those guys come around like once a generation, right? Like, that's the shooting star you were talking about.
That's the shooting star.
That's the shooting star. It's like, oh, man, like, we just missed. You blink and you might miss it.
And we did. And sadly, we did miss what would have been, honestly, a Hall of Fame career with no doubt.
No doubt.
It went down as one of the greatest safeties ever, if not the greatest. I just want like a quarter of that, a half of that. I just want somebody to make people fear coming across the middle on that deep end. You know what I mean? Like, I just know you do not want to cross that hash mark and come across the middle and turn back and look for the ball, because I'm going to take your head off. That's what we miss out there, I think, in center field.
Well, I do want to see how Quentin Demps and Eddie Jackson kind of grow, because you have a guy that's been there before, done that, to a guy that is young.
But neither are thumpers, though.
Yeah, but Quentin Demps is a big, he's
coming into his own late.
He's rocked up, dude, man.
He doesn't have.
I don't know if he. I would look at him as more of a guy that would hit you instead of like. I mean, he has ball skills, but not the best ball skills. First of all, I know what you want. But let's just see how these guys play together. Let's see how everything kind of plays itself out. Like, even how that plays, because everybody's still thinking about how, you know, who the guys that are still there. Because what you still got, Amos is there.
DeAndre Houston, Carson.
Bush is from my Miami U is a thumper. That's what scares me about him, because he will come up and try to knock your head off. And, like, that's one of the biggest things that talked about when he was coming out in the draft. And everybody was talking about he's a dude with just reckless abandons. And in the NFL, you're not getting Bob Sanders anymore. It's not happening. Or Troy Polamalu. Those guys just, they're once in a lifetime. In that position to be able to do what they do, to come down and stop the run, not me. I'm telling you now. I'm not doing it. Not against offensive linemen coming around pulling. No. Not happening, sir. No, not me.
So you got to slip up under that arm.
Sometimes you can't slip. You got to hit that big dude right in his chest. And that stuff hurts, man. Stuff hurts, dude. Running into big dudes. But anyway, man, we'll see what happens on Thursday. We'll break it down.
Can't wait. I'll be sitting in my chair in the basement.
Yeah, man. We'll get it cracking. Jared Payton, Ernie Scatton, and WGNRadio.com. Down and Distance. Follow it on Twitter at DADPod if you want to check out anything that's going on from the previous podcast that we have popping here. As always, we were here. Now we're gone. Peace.
Peace.